that the findings are made, I would like to strongly recommend in our motion that we include outreach to our congressional representatives to make certain that whatever pressure can be put in IBLA, this has gone on way too long in terms of identifying a final resolution.
I'll let the mover of the motion make those statements. Is there any further discussion?
Sorry, Amy? I just wanted to comment on that. The IBLA, the district is looking into avenues of possibly submitting a request to expedite the IBLA decision. Again, we're still in discussions internally. We have also begun conversations with the EPA to see if there's any options, enforcement options that they can do. We are still waiting to hear back on that. So we are pursuing alternative options.
Thank you.
I think we've gone through variations on the theme of this kind of discussion the last two or three years. So one question is, what are the consequences of us refusing to grant the variance? Maybe that's the most important piece. And on the first finding, the trouble I have is, and I think one of us has said this before, to say that it's beyond petitioner's control, well, some buddies, plural, in the chain of command walked away from their responsibility and set up the current set of somebodies to be able to say, look, we're not responsible and we can't take care of it now. And that leaves us in this position of, well, what happens if we don't grant the variance? And that's a impossible choice, it seems to me, that we would make that decision.
I think that's a question for council. What is the implication of not granting the variance?
Chair Dressler, I believe the implication of not granting the variance is that they would have to cease the maintenance and monitoring activities that they're conducting under the permit, or that they're in violation of the permit conditions.
And there would be fines, I assume, and additional accrual of financial responsibility from a practical standpoint, doesn't change and maybe makes worse the long-term air quality implications, maybe, however minor or large they are currently. And it doesn't move the process forward to them being capable of deconstructing.
I think the most important thing is that the permit is necessary in order to do a whole lot of the activities that are now ongoing in order to repair and maintain the platforms. Yep. So the biggest penalty when somebody refuses to comply and doesn't have a variance is that their permit is revoked. With a revoked permit, they couldn't do the work that's necessary to keep the platform operating. So I think that's where we get to the point of this wouldn't have an air quality benefit if we did that.
And it would just, whatever the process is that we look forward to, it would just slow that process down.
I would think so.
And we have really no other choice. We either grant the variance or not. This isn't a circumstance to enter into negotiations to modify the actual permit itself. This feels like a little bit of a kabuki dance. We're being asked to make a choice that really isn't a choice.
I agree with your discomfort and feel it myself. But I have thought a lot personally about what is, I've thought about and I've talked to council about what are the chances of us of issuing an abatement order against the Department of the Interior. And that's an extreme solution that may, be able to be possible by this board, but may not have the outcome that we wish it to have. I don't know what our power is to have to remedy, to force a remedy. I don't know if we even have the control to force that remedy. We can take administrative actions like abatement orders and instruct the district to write notices of violation and all that. But would the ultimate result be that the wells got fixed? And ultimately the wells have to get fixed, ironically, before they can actually plug them. They have to fix them before they can plug them. Just like they've had to rebuild the platform, the upper part of the platform, before they could even take any action, which is a complete irony. I imagine that this is all going to cost much more than the original cost of the platform. I have thought long and hard about what our options might be, and I haven't been able to come up with a solution other than what we're doing. Any further discussion? I'll entertain a motion.
Chair Dressler, we do have to open this up for public comment.
Excuse me?
We do have to open this item up for public
comment. Oh, I'm sorry. All right. I'll open this item up for public comment now. Anybody from the public? Anybody in the audience?
And then just for the record, we did not receive any speaker slips or
did
any
you,
public
you
comment.
Did you got no speaker slips?
On this item.
All right. I'll close public comment. Thank you, Lori, for reminding me of that. Now I'll entertain a motion.
I move to approve the variance. And I would separate the political outreach and things like that separate from the variance itself. We can happy to have that discussion. I don't think it belongs in the variance motion.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Lori, please call the roll.
Dr. Colomay?
I'm going to do something a little unconventional because I'm sure that this is going to pass otherwise. And I applaud Beacon West as a contractor for all the work that they've done, but I find this whole situation so objectionable that I'm going to say no.
Mr. Cook?
I'm going to vote yes.
Mr. Cox?
Yes.
Mr. Saperstein?
Yes.
And Chair Dressler?
Yes.
Motion passes 4-1.
All right.
Chair Dressler, if I might, I have to now step out so I can get to that appointment for take my mother to it.
Thank you very much, Mr. Cox, for your attending.
Thank you.
And I will ask the board for if they want to power on or if they would like to have a 5-minute break at this point. Everybody fine? Okay. So, item E2. Lori, would you please read this item into the record?
Thank you. Public hearing E2, case number 2021-05-M4, modification of final compliance date and schedule of increments of progress. To consider a petition for modification of regular variance from District Rules 331 D, E, G, 1, and I, and 206 Part 70 permit to operate 9108 R5, conditions 9C2A, 9C2B1, 9C2B2, submitted on May 23rd, 2024, for relief from fugitive hydrocarbon component emission limits, operational limits, leak and repair requirements at Platform Hogan. The petitioner operates the equipment described in the petition at Platform Hogan, located on offshore lease track OCS P166, approximately 8 miles southeast from the city of Santa Barbara.
All right, I'll swear in witnesses now. All witnesses that are going to testify for this item, please stand and raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm under penalty of perjury in accordance with the laws of California that your testimony in this proceeding will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Please state your name, affiliation, and that you affirm the oath, starting with Keith. Thank you. At this time, I'll ask petitioner to go over the petition for Platform Hogan. We've had a good general background of the whole project, including both platforms. So if you could focus most of your testimony on the specifics of Platform Hogan and the issues there.
Chair Dressler, I will do that. Okay, presentation's up. So Keith Wendell again, I'm gonna be providing a summary of the Platform Hogan continuation of the variance. Obviously a picture of Platform Hogan there. Current status is very similar to that of Platform Houchen as far as Beacon West continuing to perform maintenance and monitoring. And the facility situation is the same in that all equipment has been isolated and flushed and purged and depressured and so forth. All well bay piping has been removed. We continue to do method 21 inspections, and the gauge and well monitoring program is continuing. Flare system on Hogan is also in service, in intermittent service. No venting occurs. New platform stationary and portable cranes have been installed and are operating. Level one repairs and maintenance activities continue. Fugitive emissions from the wellheads are monitored and documented, and repairs are made as possible. Completed tests during the 2023-24 variance period. Two portable cranes have been installed on Platform Hogan, and one stationary crane has been installed on Platform Hogan. The Nautilus 280B crane, which is one of the portables, will be moved over to Platform Houchen this year. So we'll end up with two cranes on Houchen and two cranes on Hogan. Structural upgrades and supports have been completed. We have removed the dilapidated and unsafe rig. BOP and substructure and associated tanks from the platform, removed all the well bay production piping, and ongoing repairs and refurbishments to the electrical generation system and components. Switchgear is ongoing. Continued platform decking, grading, stairway repairs, put the potable water system in service, completion of a platform intercom and alarm systems been completed, completion of firewater system repairs have been done, method 21 inspections are ongoing, and we've, similar to Houchen, completed the well remediation analysis and evaluation in preparation for the well mitigation program. Some visuals, up there on the left, fire system repairs, you see piping in the center there, that's repair piping associated with the flare, decking, gratings, throughout the platform. That work has all been completed. Oops, sorry about that. Some visuals on the cranes. So I said, this year we've installed two primary portable cranes on Platform Hogan. One of those will be removed and reinstalled on Platform Houchen in the coming quarters. So just some visuals here of the two cranes. In the bottom right-hand corner is a large crane which will remain on Platform Hogan, and the crane to the right there is the Nautilus crane which will be relocated to Platform Houchen to complete needed repairs on Houchen going forward. Some additional pictures of the cranes that have been recently installed this year, which is all, they're all operational at this point, and the Unit 500 is the small crane which was just reinstalled on Platform Hogan in June. The final set of pictures is related to, I mentioned, the dilapidated and risky well rig that was on Platform Hogan. That has since been removed. The bottom left-hand corner is a picture of the deck where the rig used to sit. It's all cleared off now and ready for another rig to be reinstalled there. And the bottom right-hand corner is a picture of all the rig equipment that was placed onto a large supply vessel and transported to shore for disposal. Variance order compliance. We are 100% in compliance with the current variance conditions, including the increments of progress. And the existing or remaining increments of progress are dependent on the appeal resolution related to Platform Hogan. As mentioned with Hogan or with Houchin, over the last 4 years, there's been a significant amount of work that's been completed on Platform Hogan. We were able to do a lot more work on Hogan than Houchin because we had available craneage. So our progress there has been significantly more advanced than Houchin at this point. Planned activities for the next variance period. The most significant one is to remove the dilapidated and unhealthy existing platform living quarters, which must be reinstalled on the platform prior to any well intervention program going on. The safest and most efficient operation for the well remediation work is to have personnel on the platform and not transporting them back and forth from shore. Associated with that, once we remove the quarters, there's likely going to be structural and deck refurbishments that have to be made. So those are ongoing activities that will be done once the quarters have been removed. And we have ongoing refurbishments to the helideck on Platform Hogan as well, which will be likely completed by Q4 of this year. This slide is just shows a demonstration. This is involving the ongoing engineering and planning work associated with the new quarters buildings that need to be installed on Platform Hogan. The existing buildings will all be removed, and the boxes you see on the upper left and the bottom right will all be installed on Platform Hogan in preparation for the well remediation program. Future well rig installation. As mentioned previously, at this time, the platform is not ready to move forward with a well intervention program. And the risk of conducting any repairs on the well, on the existing wellheads, is not advisable due that we don't have a suitable well rig on the platform or a well intervention program in place. And these are comments from the staff report. Facility responsibility and partial stay agreement. I covered this under the Houchin discussion, so there's no change here. Essentially, the IBLA decision process is outstanding. The partial stay agreement is in place, and we're working under that agreement now. That agreement does not obligate well work within its scope, and that Bessie and the order recipients are voluntarily, proactively doing significant work on the platform to get it to a safe and environmental healthy situation, condition. The explicit findings. I'm gonna run through the same six as with Houchin, and then the two implicit findings. Explicit finding number one, applicant is unable to comply with the district rule, specifically rule 331. Beacon West response. Beacon West confirms that we are unable to comply with these permit conditions due to the current inability to safely repair the wellhead fugitive emissions. Continuing on with item one, district rule, specifically district rule 206, Beacon West response. Beacon West confirms it is unable to comply with these permit conditions due to the current inability to safely repair the wellhead fugitive emissions. Noncompliance, item two, noncompliance due to conditions beyond the applicant's reasonable control and requiring compliance would result in unreasonable taking of property or closing of business. Same here as with Houchin, effective mitigation of a wellhead fugitive emissions cannot be addressed until the platform is fully supported and prepared for a comprehensive well intervention program. And the platform is currently not in that state to safely support a well intervention program, including until the adequate personnel quarters have been installed and are available. Neither the petitioner nor the former leaseholders are the owner-operator of the lease wells, and the well intervention program to address the wellhead fugitive emissions is not part of the terms of the partial stay agreement. Neither the petitioner nor the former leaseholders is the current owner-operator of the platform. A taking of property, i.e. the permit, will only obstruct continuing progress to prepare the platform for a well intervention program. And lastly, Bessie has no control over the appeal resolution as stated in the district staff report, and Mr. Hessen stated that as well today. Item three, such taking is without corresponding benefit to reducing air pollution. Beacon West response, the platform oil and gas production has been permanently ceased pending well plug and abandonment activities. Without continued variance coverage, the petitioner would be forced to cease all maintenance and refurbishment activities, increasing the risk to safety and the environment. A taking of the permit would have zero or no air pollution benefit, and yet would be detrimental to the ongoing progress that we're making on Platform Hogan. The petitioners will continue to proceed in a safe manner to ensure safety of workers and to ensure the environmental protection. Item four, applicant considered curtailing operations in lieu of variance. Curtailing production operations is not applicable in this case as the facility is permanently shut down and will not resume production. All platform source operations and equipment have been permanently taken out of service and or curtailed to the extent possible. All going activities are solely to improve the safety and mitigate environmental risks by performing maintenance, repairs, and refurbishments in preparation for a well intervention program. Item five, applicant will reduce emissions to the extent feasible. Beacon West response, during the variance period, during the period the variance is in effect, emissions will continue to be reduced to the maximum extent feasible by removing, repairing, and replacing the equipment as appropriate. The former leaseholders and their contractors are committed to continuing to apply necessary resources and the continued restoration, maintenance, and repair of Platform Hogan and its facilities to minimize emissions to the extent feasible. All fugitive emissions remain, although fugitive emissions remain, any attempted repairs to the wellheads without a suitable rig or well intervention program will present significant risk and high potential to significantly increase emissions. And the applicant will continue to comply with all variance conditions. Lastly, item six of the explicit findings, applicant will monitor and report emissions. Beacon West response, monitoring and maintenance activities will continue to be addressed with the district permitting procedures, and quarterly method 21 monitoring will continue for fugitive emissions. All permitted emissions will continue to be reported in the semi-annual reports as required by the PTO. Implicit findings. Item one, monitoring and maintenance activity under the variance is not a nuisance to the public. Beacon West's response, cessation of oil and gas production, limited equipment operation, and remote offshore location ensures no nuisance potential to the public. Item two, other requirements to progress expeditious compliance with the emissions standards or increments of progress. The former lease, Beacon West response, the former leaseholders and their contractors have invested and continue to invest extensive resources into the maintenance and restoration of the platform under the partial stay agreement to reduce and mitigate emissions. Completion of the new platform quarters prior to the start of the well intervention program to mitigate wellhead emissions. Identify well rigs necessary for fugitive leak repairs within 6 months of final resolution of the IBLA process. Completion of platform deck alterations necessary for the well rig installation within 18 months of the final resolution of the IBLA process. Begin well bay fugitive leak repairs within 20 months of the final resolution of the IBLA process. Completion of 100% of the well bay fugitive emissions repairs within 38 months of the final resolution of the IBLA process. Those last four items, again, are a carryover from last from the current variance to the new variance, proposed variance. Okay. In conclusion, the petitioner does recognize the legitimate concerns of the hearing board and district staff in regards to the ongoing fugitive emissions from Pratt-Flomer Hogan. We do intend to fully comply with all district's legal requirements associated with the platform going forward. The petitioner is has been fully cooperating with the district staff and will continue to do so. Petitioner has performed work that far exceeds the terms of the partial stay agreement in order to get the platform into a condition to accept a well intervention program and to address fugitive emissions. The petitioner has complied 100% with all the conditions and increments of progress of the current variance order. And of course, the petitioner will proceed with all activities in a safe manner. And that concludes my presentation.
Does staff have anything to add?
District staff supports the variance request.
Thank you. Are there questions from the board?
Yeah, on your reports, what's the units of the leak rate that's being reported? They're just like a number. Slight pet peeve of mine as an engineer to have a number without units.
But. In regards to the fugitive emissions?
Yes.
The current estimated emission, excess emissions for Platform Hogan is 16 tons per year.
And then, so I mean, kind of comparing the two platforms, you know, looking at this one, I don't know if you have, when you have like the living quarters on there, I'm kind of curious, you know, who defines the scope of work that you guys are doing, right? So, you know, I think you're, request for the variance talks about going beyond what's required by the partial stay agreement, and so I think, my question is just what's defining the scope of work that's necessary that you guys are executing to, and then kind of the same question that I asked for Halchin, how many years until you think the platform would be able to accept a well rig?
Member Cox, in regards to all the work that has been done over the last 4 years, Beacon West, as the contractor to our clients, that's been all directed by them as the contractor to the other parties. So that work is driven by them through us. In regards to timing for Platform Hogan to accept a well rig, as noted, the quarter structures need to be installed, and there's a few other repairs that need to be made, so we're looking at probably another year of activity on Hogan, or possibly more, depending on what else we find that needs to be repaired.
Further questions?
There was a comment on the other platform as well in the staff report that the petitioner did not accurately report excess fugitive emissions, but that wasn't really clear to me how extensive that was and what the reason for the misrepresentation was.
Member Colomay, as far as the calculations on the emissions, as I stated to Member Cox, the current tons per year calculations for excess emissions for Platform Hogan is 16 tons, and the calculated emissions for Halchin are 4 tons per year.
The monthly reports that were provided by Beacon West indicated that the emissions were from the flare stack and not the fugitive emissions from the leaking components. And so we've asked Beacon West to go back and correct those, correct the excess emissions for each of the platforms.
Further questions?
Are there other periodic permits that are required for the work that, the prep work to dismantle the rig?
Member Stepstein, no, there's not.
Nope. This is the only one.
For the work we are currently doing.
Further questions? I'll open public comment on this.
Chair Dressler, members of the hearing board, we did not receive any public comment on this item.
I'll close public comment. Discussion.
I'm actually a little surprised there aren't members of the public here, for what that's worth. Not the first time or the last time I'd be surprised.
Maybe just the first couple years.
First time what?
Maybe just to comment on the first couple years of it.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, my comments and thoughts are largely the same. Kind of digesting some of our comments on Houchin is, it seems like there's a timeline of maybe 1 to 2 years where if the appeal resolution isn't reached, there's a platform that would be ready to have its structure decommissioned, but not be allowed to, just for administrative reasons. And I think, you know, it's good that we're talking about potential alternative ways to kind of enforce the decommissioning and kind of cessation of the fugitive emissions, you know, particularly because we're granting longer term variances. You know, I think it's good that we're giving some lead time to those conversations.
I agree with you. I think when Beacon West has done what they need to do in order for the drill rig to be installed on these platforms, that there's going to have to be a more in-depth discussion about what is it that's keeping them from doing it then, you know? Because this partial stay agreement seems like a pretty weak reason to me.
Yeah, and I think the them may not be Beacon West either. And
no,
I think
it's not Beacon
that's
West.
That's part of the
problem.
Question, right, is who is them?
Right, who is they? Who's responsible? Where's that? Who owns the formation from which that gas is leaking? And I think that the IBLA is in that process right now. I don't know how easy it's going to be for them to come to a resolution on that, but somebody's going to have to be responsible at the end of the day for that, because the platforms can't just sit there forever.
Given that there's a possibility that Beacon West would be ready to put in a well rig before the IBLA has resolved this, is there any possibility of setting up a federal escrow account or something so that that part of it could be expedited? We know that the well rig has got to be put on for this to get concluded. Is there anything apart from this partial stay that might be done to make that happen?
Is the person that might have an answer to that question in this room?
Probably not. But so it was really more rhetorical.
I see. Any further discussion?
Just from an agenda standpoint, to make sure our discussions are appropriate, I don't know in sort of what form, whether it's a separately agendized item where we have a broader discussion about our response to this, to talk about other strategies, or whether we just ask staff to do that and come back for a report. I'm just not sure the right construct to do that. Doesn't seem to be, I'm not sure, maybe council should tell us if it's appropriate to have that discussion in the context of a single variance request.
Yeah, you know what I'd like to do is to dispense with this variance in however we're going to dispense with it. And then before we move on to the next item, I'll entertain motions as to how we would, any requests that we might have of staff. And those will be advisory you know, motions. They won't be binding in any way, but at least we'll be on record to have those motions. Is that all right with council?
Yes, Chair Dressler.
Thank you. So let's go down the findings. We've heard evidence that the petitioner is in violation. The reason that it's beyond the violation is beyond their control is that the platform is not currently suited for installation of a well rig, which is necessary to do those repairs. Closing or taking would be without a corresponding benefit of air contaminants, simply because the platform is completely shut down as it is, and in fact the revoking of the permit might prevent them from doing other work that does reduce air pollutants. The petitioner has considered curtailing operations, and in fact the entire platform has been curtailed. During the period of the variance is in effect, the petitioner will reduce emissions to the maximum extent feasible. They've given testimony today that they are that's an ongoing process that they're doing. And they will continue to conduct 331 inspections and do the comply with the increments progress as stated in the variance. That's what I heard today from the testimony. Is there any dissent on that? I've already opened and closed public comment on this. I'll entertain a motion.
I move to approve the variance.
I will second.
I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Lori, please call the roll.
Chair Dressler, all members participating in this hearing board are here today, so a roll call is not needed.
What's that?
All hearing board members are here right now since Mr. Cox left.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed. For the same reasons as the first one, I really do believe as a contractor that Beacon West is doing a superlative job. And has met the conditions of the permit request, but is not the financial party responsible ultimately. And so my vote no is just a vote as protest, because I know otherwise this passes.
All right, the motion passes 3-1. Now I would like to ask the board if you want a break or if we should move on to the last item. Move on?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay. Lori, would you please read the next item, E4, into the record?
We do want to read E3 into the record just to take a public comment on it, even though it was withdrawn. So,
excuse me?
We do want to read item E3, even though it was withdrawn, just to take public comment.
Right, go ahead and do that.
All right. Public hearing item E3, case number 2021-12-M3, modification of conditions, final compliance date, and increments of progress. Applicant withdrew item E3 on June 21st, 2024, and no public comments were received. Moving on.
E4.
Public hearing E4, case number 2024-06-R, regular variance. To consider a regular variance from District Rules 328C2, C4G, and I1. And 206 ATC 14500 mod 10, conditions 9B12, 9C9A1, 9C9A5, 9C9B2, 9C9B17, 9C9B18, 9C9C13, ADF, CHP, IC engines only, 9C9-19A, ADF, CHP, IC engines only, 9C21, ADF, and MRF, CHP, IC engines only, 9C22 and 9C23. Submitted on June 3rd, 2024 for relief from the following requirements at the DeHiguis landfill. Source testing requirements for the ADF CHP IC engines, backed emission limits for the ADF and MRF CHP IC engines, emission controls and maintenance for the ADF and MRF CHP IC engines, SEMS requirements and data telemetry for the ADF and MRF CHP IC engines, and SEMS excursions until the repairs can be made. The petitioner operates the equipment at the DeHiguis landfill located at 14470 Calle Real in Goleta, California.
Thank you, Lori. Will anybody who's going to provide testimony in this case please stand? I'm going to administer the oath. Once I've finished administering the oath, I would like, we'll go around the room, and I would like you to state your name, your affiliation, and affirm that, yes, that you affirm the oath. So please raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm under penalty of perjury in accordance with the laws of California that your testimony in this proceeding will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Could each participant please go around the room and affirm and state your name and affiliation?
John Hancock, County Santa Barbara Public Works, I do.
Jeanette Gonzalez-Knight, County Santa Barbara, I will.
Kurt Kett, the Air District, I do.
Amy Long at the District, I do.
All right. Thank you very much. At this point, I'll turn this over to the petitioner to please state your case. We're going to have to make findings on this, so please try to organize your testimony so that we can adequately hear the evidence we need to hear to be able to make the findings.
Good morning, Chair Dressler and members of the board. I am Jeanette Gonzalez-Knight with the County of Santa Barbara, Interim Deputy Director with Resource Recovery and Waste Management Division. Here with me this morning is Mr. John Hancock, our Interim Compliance Manager. And today we'll present our six findings for the regular variance at the DeHiguis Resource Center. Before we present those six findings, we just want to make sure we provide some relevant background information about the Resource Center. It is located at the DeHiguis Landfill. The county has operated and owned the DeHiguis Landfill since 1967. The Resource Center and the DeHiguis Landfill are located 26 miles west of the city of Santa Barbara. Immediately south of the landfill is the US Highway 101, which provides access to the site, the Union Pacific Railroad to the south as well, and the ocean. The southern portion of the site is located within the coastal zone, California coastal zone. As a means to reduce the landfill's dependence, as well as mitigate environmental impacts from the community's waste, the county contracted with MSB Investors LLC to develop the DeHiguis Resource Recovery Project in December of 2016. The revised project, now referred to as the Resource Center, was approved by the Santa Barbara County Board of Supervisors in November of 2017. And it consists of several facilities. They are the materials recovery facility, the anaerobic digestion facility, and the compost management unit. The Resource Center has been in limited service since the fall of 2021 and is pending completion of project development. The DeHiguis Landfill and the Resource Center serve the cities of Santa Barbara, Goleta, Solvang, Buellton, and the unincorporated county Santa Barbara areas. The Resource Center is crucial to the Santa Barbara's county energy and climate action plan as one of the largest reducers of greenhouse gases and is also included in our partner cities' climate action plans. The county and the aforementioned participating cities depend on the Resource Center to comply with the increasing waste diversion requirements of Senate Bill 1383, which require a 75% reduction in burial of organics by January 1st, 2025. At the Resource Center, municipal solid waste is first received at our material recovery facility, the MRF. The material is subsequently sorted into organics, recyclables, and residue. Recyclables that are collected from the municipal solid waste are sold to market, while the waste residue is landfilled at Tahigas. The sorted organics are then sent to our anaerobic digestion facility, which we call the ADF. Over the last year, the material recovery facility processed approximately 140,000 tons of municipal solid waste and approximately 39,000 tons of source-separated recyclables. MSB subcontracted the operation and maintenance of the MRF, of the MRF flare, engines, and condensate management system to third-party subcontractors. Ancillary systems at the MRF also treat and combust landfill gas in two CHP engines in order to provide electricity for needs on-site and to the grid. The landfill gas treatment systems reduce the hydrogen sulfide content, as well as remove liquids, particulates, and siloxanes from landfill gas. Exhaust from the engines is then routed to a paper dryer when that unit is operating. When the paper dryer is offline, engine exhaust is directed to their respective stacks. Landfill gas is combusted in the MRF enclosed flare when necessary. Each MRF engine, Gen 100 and Gen 200, is equipped with a dual selective catalytic reduction and oxidation catalyst control system. The oxidation catalyst reduces CO and ROC emissions, while the SCR system uses urea injection to control NOx emissions. Engine emissions are monitored with a continuous emissions monitoring system, and data is telemetered to the district via a data acquisition system. The organic material recovered from the MRF is then sent to our anaerobic digestion facility, which I mentioned we call the ADF, and it's placed in one of 16 enclosed, heated anaerobic digesters for approximately 28 days. During this time, the organics are sprayed with percolate, which is a mixture of microorganisms and water. The microorganisms metabolize the organic waste in an anaerobic digestion process that converts the organic waste and material into a methane-rich biogas. To further aid that digestion process, hot water from the ADF engine's water jacket system is circulated through piping cast in the walls and the floors of the digesters and to two percolate tanks. Over the last year, the ADF processed approximately 57,000 tons of organic fraction from municipal waste and also 3,300 tons from source-separated organics from hundreds of businesses within Santa Barbara County. It also generated approximately 0.9 megawatts of energy derived from that biogas. Operations of the ADF was previously performed by MSB, and operations and maintenance of the ADF flare, engines, water, wastewater systems were subcontracted out by MSB to third-party vendors. Biogas from our ADF engines is sent to from our digesters is sent to two engines to produce electricity for the grid. Similar to our MRF engines, the ADF engines, Gen 300 and Gen 400, are equipped with SCR oxidation catalyst control systems and a continuous emissions monitoring system. The data is telemetered to the district via the data acquisition system. After the processing of material in the ADF is complete, digestate is transported to our compost management unit, also we refer to as the CMU. It's transported via an enclosed conveyor and placed into temporary storage piles. The digestate is then mixed with screen compost, and this mixture is placed into 20 piles and cures for approximately 28 days. Our best management practices are utilized to control ROC emissions and odors, including the GOR covers and forced static aeration. After curing, the compost is screened to remove anaerobic residue and non-compostable material, such as plastics, metals, and glass. Operation of the CMU was formerly performed by MSB, and over the last year, the CMU processed approximately 60,000 tons of anaerobic digested organics from the ADF and produced approximately only 640 tons of finished compost. Recent developments at the Resource Center. The previous operating agreement with the County of Santa Barbara and MSB identified MSB as having exclusive control over the manner and means of performing contractor obligations and the persons performing them. MSB was also contracted to install and maintain equipment at the Resource Center. In addition to complying with all federal, state, and local permits and CEQA mitigations required by applicable law for the facilities. On November 6th of 2023, the county submitted a letter to MSB giving notice of its intent to terminate the operating agreement. The county gave MSB a thorough explanation of why the termination was occurring and proper supporting documentation, including citing non-payment of MSB's contractors who had performed work at the Resource Center. On December 12, 2023, the County Board of Supervisors voted unanimously to terminate that operating agreement. Initially, two termination dates were set for the Resource Center. The MRF operations were immediately terminated and transferred to the county, while the ADF and the CMU operations would continue to be operated by MSB for at least 180 days. However, on January 3rd, 2024, MSB requested immediate transfer of all Resource Center permitting, compliance, operational, and maintenance obligations to the county and immediately stopped all performance under the agreement. As a result, the agreement between the county and MSB was fully terminated, and the county took over operations and environmental compliance for the entire Resource Center. As the county began operations of the Resource Center, it became evident that MSB failed to fully communicate the state of the facilities and the equipment. The county is in the process of making the necessary repairs to return the facility to compliance, such as recent completion of the MRF baghouse filtration system and implementation of our covered aeration static pile system with GOR blankets as shown here to reduce odor complaints. However, due to the state of the facilities, the strained relationships with our subcontractors, and the need to procure equipment that has been repossessed, additional time to reach compliance is necessary. Without an extension to the district rules and permit conditions listed in the existing interim variance 2024-05I, the county will be in violation of operating two MRF and two ADF engines without emissions controls and the continuous emissions monitoring system, exceeding BACT or best available control technology emission limits, and failing to comply with source test requirements for the ADF CHP engines.
I apologize to do this, can I interrupt you? I didn't realize to the extent to which MSB